Something for the weekend on Saturday. It's Trina. Now, there's been a lot of talk in the last week and a lot of headlines about strep A in children. And a pharmacist from Milltown Total Health, Sheena Mitchell, is here, and she also has the podcast Wonder Baba. Talk to me about this. I mean, the numbers have really gone up, haven't they, Sheena?
So this is where it gets really interesting. At the moment, scarlet fever, which is a strep A infection, isn't a notifiable disease in Ireland. However, it is in the UK, and we can see that their numbers have jumped up a lot, averaging kind of 1,200 for a 6-week period up to 4,500. So in the UK, they've a lot more scarlet fever. And because we don't know those figures in Ireland, you know, we kind of are working on the assumption that scarlet fever is on the rise here too. When you have any strep A infection, it can increase basically the risk of developing an invasive group A streptococcal infection. And that's what we're hearing a lot at the moment. And I know, obviously, at the moment, you know, there's a lot of talk because several children between the UK and Ireland have unfortunately died from severe disease.
Yeah.
But I do want to emphasise that severe disease is extremely rare. And scarlet fever and invasive strep A have been, I suppose, around for a long time. It's been something that doctors have been treating for a long time. And while scarlet fever isn't a notifiable disease in Ireland, the invasive form is. And actually the figures to date, so this year to date, we've had 55 cases of IgAS. And obviously they were much lower in the COVID years. They were only 43 and 34. But pre-COVID, we were looking at annual figures of around 120, 130 a year. So actually, our recorded cases of this invasive form are still lower than pre-COVID years. So it's important to say that, just to reassure parents.
So sadly, a four-year-old died in the northeast Dublin region, and in the north of Ireland, a five-year-old girl also died from a severe form of the illness. So this is probably what's getting parents panicking. And they'd say, well, I don't care if the numbers are lower than they normally are. It only takes, you know, my child to get it, and that's the end of my world. So what are the symptoms for this?
Yeah, and firstly, just to say, like, my thoughts are with those families. There's actually nothing worse. And I think you're right. That is what drives fear in all of us as parents, you know. So for the invasive form, you know, you're really looking at a high fever, your child's being really unwell. Sometimes their blood pressure will get low with this. They'll be dizzy, confused, severe stomach pain. These are really severe symptoms. But for a general strep A infection, and this is important to look out for, because obviously at the moment it's confusing. We've got RSV, we've got flu, there's a lot on the rise. So for a strep A infection, a good way to look at it is an isolated infection. So an infection somewhere like maybe the throat. So with scarlet fever, you know, you tend to get, say, a sore throat, a rash on the body, and that's as a result of the bacteria releasing toxins. And that can basically cause redness anywhere from the head right down to the toes. And you usually get this kind of white area around the mouth. Also, the tongue can be quite red with little white spots on it. It's often described as a strawberry tongue. And then sometimes that develops into a slightly swollen tongue with a white covering on it that will then peel. I know that's not very nice, but the same with the rash, you can get skin peeling afterwards. Children can also complain of nausea, vomiting, or a headache along with this. But sometimes a strep A infection won't be from scarlet fever, while that's probably the most likely cause at the moment. But even things like a bacterial ear infection or lower chest infection, any time that you have a strep A infection present, there is a very small and rare risk of this invasive disease.
Now, is this something that is spread in schools then?
Yeah, so potentially. So with a bacterial infection, it's not generally quite as contagious as, say, something like a viral illness like RSV or even COVID. But with it, like if you look at, say, impetigo, that's a skin infection caused by strep A. And that is really contagious in a school environment because, you know, children are touching their face and it's on their hands and they're touching each other on surfaces. And so that's an easy way for bacteria to spread. It's also spread through, you know, coughing and, I suppose, not even poor hand hygiene, but coughing and touching surfaces. So like any infection, it's really important to just keep wiping the surfaces, try and get kids to keep using hand gel, washing their hands. With the strep infection, children under 2 tend to have some immunity from their mothers, but as they get a bit older, kind of 2 to 10, those groups seem to be more at risk. And obviously post-COVID, a bigger group of them will be more at risk because there hasn't been the same level of strep A in a community, so they've no immunity gained from the last 2 years.
So what should parents be doing then? I mean, as soon as they see a symptom like that, is it a GP or is it going to A&E?
Yes, I think here you have to be kind of pragmatic, because we do have a situation where obviously the hospitals are busy. Gut instinct is really important, and never, you know, ignore that. If your child is really unwell, first of all, you're looking to see, okay, is this viral? Can I manage it at home? So if they have like all of the symptoms, like a runny nose, a bit of a cough, they're feeling unwell, a little bit of a fever, and it's kind of widespread, just flu-y, that generally tends to be viral. And unless they start to develop something like bronchiolitis, which can be identified by a difficulty breathing or really low energy or dehydration, any of these kind of things require a doctor visit. But if it's just a general kind of viral infection where, you know, your child is doing okay, they're feeling okay, they're having regular wet nappies or going to toilet and drinking their fluids regularly, then that can be managed at home, you know, and treat the fever as you would normally. And then if they're complaining of specific pain in one area, like if you suspect their ear is sore or they have a sore throat, along with a high fever, and there may or may not be a rash, you know, things like a headache. If you think that's the situation, it's no harm to go to the GP to have them have a look at their throat and ears to see, is there a bacterial infection there? Because if there is, the doctor will treat with antibiotics. Obviously, if it's viral, antibiotics do nothing, so they're no help. So it's just trying to kind of be aware of what looks viral and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've no way of knowing without visiting the GP. But sometimes you can kind of tell, no, this is more runny nose, bit of a cough, bit of everything, streaming eyes, this is viral. But if it's more specific, a really sore throat, a fever, and it's localised, then that's potentially more likely to be a streptococcal infection.
Okay. I think, yeah, as parents, we kind of have that gut instinct. We know when it's time to go to a hospital, don't we?
100%. And like, gut instinct is amazing, and it's formed from a number of things. There's some practicals, like, you know, kind of any difficulty breathing and physical signs that you're going to see. But even if you know your child's form and you know they're normally giddy and jumping off the walls, you know, all of a sudden they're tired, lethargic and not interested, you know, in kind of responding to you in the normal way. That is something that maybe, you know, a doctor mightn't be able to identify. And it's really important to tell the doctor, no, this child is off form. I'm telling you there's something wrong. And it's absolutely okay to do that. In fact, most doctors will thank you first, because they don't know what the child is like on a day-to-day basis, and they're relying on you to keep them informed.
Yeah. I had an A&E paediatric doctor on here before, and she was saying, we will never ever give out to a parent for bringing a child in. We'll never ever judge a parent for bringing a child in if they're okay. That's what we want. We want the result for them to be okay. So never feel like you're wasting their time or anything like that. If you have the gut instinct that they need to go in, just do it.
100%. Because no matter how busy and how full the hospitals get, you know, I've heard so many of the amazing hospital doctors turn around and say, we'll never turn away a sick baby. Like,
no.
It doesn't happen. Whatever other things might happen, you know, like, I suppose, non-urgent care might be deferred, but the baby needs to be examined. And it's that fine balance between being a little bit calm at home and relying on your gut instincts and looking at the symptoms that are in front of you and, you know, deciding, okay, obviously there's difficulty breathing, there's dehydration, I'm not happy with their form, they're drowsy. These are all emergency symptoms which, you know, potentially require A&E visits. Whereas if it's something that they're just feeling a bit off, their sore throat is, say, all that's bothering them, they have this rash, then that's a GP situation, because the GP can manage that. So it's kind of defining between what you can treat at home, what you need to go to the GP for, and what you need to go to hospital straight away for.
The thing is, they can get so ill so quickly as well. So you've got a good bit of info on this on your own Instagram page there. Can you give us the details there?
Yeah, so people can check out my highlights. It's probably the easiest way at Wonder Baba Care. I have articles and infographics and just recorded a podcast with a fabulous family doctor in Ennis, Dr. Maura Finn. And that gives lots of information for parents about RSV and the stress as well, and kind of how the doctors deal with it in their setting. So that's all saved in, you know, the Stress A highlights. And then I have a lot of information on RSV there as well. The podcast is available everywhere. I wonder about the podcast, anywhere you stream your podcast.
And of course, your pharmacist, you know, if you have any questions, your pharmacist is quite knowledgeable, as Sheena is on the line here as well. They'll probably be able to tell you, oh, probably is this or probably is that, but go to your GP. But you'd be amazed how much your pharmacist will be able to help. So thanks so much. There is Sheena Mitchell from Milltown Total Care Pharmacy, and also the podcast Wonder Baba. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.